And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the UFO Hour here on freethinkradio.com. I'm your host, Blings. My co-host will be with us quite shortly there, momentarily. He's switching computers. It's 9:05 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Friday, September 9th, 2011. Tonight, folks, I have a very, very special guest that is going to be joining me shortly, I hope, if everything works out. I have to call him. I haven't done that yet, but I'm going to call him. His name is Jeffrey Faulkner. And Jeffrey, I'm not going to get too much into it because I haven't, to be honest, really researched. I heard a couple of his shows, his last interviews that he's done. And from what I can make out, he knows stuff about like spiritual haunting ghosts and stuff like that, channeling aliens, I guess the Palladians, from what I understand. Also, he's just a wealth of information. Like, apparently he's had visions of things to happen in 2012. He's had visions of things to happen in 2018. So yeah, as soon as I get Hellraiser on the call with me, I'm going to call Jeffrey in. But like I was saying, I listened to his last interview, and just a crazy amount of knowledge this man has that's going to be joining us. Yeah, well, maybe I'll just call him in now, because I don't see Hellraiser joining us. And I seen he just went too busy. So if you can hang on for a second, folks, I'm going to try calling in Jeffrey. Oh, of course that happens. Bear with me, folks. All right, so I had to get his phone number. Sorry about that. Dialing his number now.
Hello,
is Jeffrey Faulkner there, please?
Speaking at you.
Hi, Jeffrey. Welcome to the UFO Hour here on freethinkradio.com. Just so you know, we're live, and it's an honor to have you join us here on Freethink Radio. You're a man of great wealth of knowledge, and I'm glad you could spare some time to come and share that knowledge with us here tonight. How are you, my friend?
Good, I'm good. I'm happy to be here. I'm in California, but I'm actually Canadian, and I'm from Vancouver Island, so we're family.
Right on, right on. So why don't you give our listeners an intro on yourself? I'm sure you can do it better than I can, so take your time and just let them know what you're all about, and we can work from there.
Yeah, sure, I could start it off. Just to kind of nutshell it, because there's I've done 3 or 4 hour interviews recently, and I'm going back for another 3 hours, so there's too much to say all at once. But in a nutshell, I was I had 2 near-death experiences when I was young. One when I was 4, I was impaled, and that's the first time I actually saw what I called angels, spirits around me, and it was doctors and nurses all around me holding hands in white. And then I came out of my body through that experience, and to get away from the pain, apparently, as I remember it. Then I grew up being able to, you know, communicate, and I would wake up in the night and see spirits sitting on my bed or standing by my bed or in a corner, things like that. I got very used to it. I was able to see a lot of things ahead of time, but, you know, pretty much kept it myself. I didn't want to be the strange kid on the block, even though I was anyway. And when I was 18, I joined the Navy, and I was in the boot camp, and we had to tread water for 12 minutes in full gear. Of course, I couldn't swim at the age of 18, but I wasn't going to tell them that and have the peer pressure from it, so I dove in with everybody, and there was about 40 guys on the surface, and on the third time down, I knew I wasn't coming up, so I took a big breath, and I kept sinking, and And then they kind of panic, you know, like your lungs are going to explode. And drowning victims always have water in the lungs because you actually do breathe. You breathe water because it's a natural thing to do, just to breathe or you're dead kind of thing. So I kept thinking after I started breathing the water, I wasn't choking or gagging or anything, and I kept sinking down, and then you just kind of relax, you know, because you're actually functioning. I got about four or five feet off the bottom, and I was suddenly out of my body. And I was looking down at my body, and that's the first time I actually had that real first-time conscious communication outside of my body. I was looking at my body, and I said, that's my body. I guess I'm finished with it now. Just I'm as calm as that. There was no panic, no worry, no nothing. And then I also found out at that point that I could actually hear all the voices of the people on the surface, including the six instructors and all that. And it's like I knew what every one of them was saying, because I always grew up, I'm spiritual, but I'm not really religious. I avoided church at every turn. I don't know the Bible much except for the famous quotes. But we're always told that if you pray to God, that God heard every prayer on earth. Well, it didn't really work with me because I didn't think Santa could be everywhere either. So that was an awakening for me, was that I understood that God probably very likely does understand every thought that every soul on this planet, even in the billions, actually has, because we're actually, when we're not in body form and we're out, we're actually, I guess our identity could be described as conscious beings, however you want to describe that, as a semi-transparent plasma being. Whatever you need to do to go to the physical five sensory, you can. But all I know is that when I was out of my body, I could hear my thoughts speaking out loud, just as if I was talking out loud.
Wild. Yeah, it's been brought to my attention too that you know a lot about the alien and UFO side of what's going on right now. Like right now in the world, you don't have to be blind to notice about all the earthquakes and the power plants leaking and oil spills and tornadoes, and I could go on and on and on forever with all the latest weather and stuff. And I heard in an interview that you just recently did where you were talking about Comet Elenin, and I've been covering that a little bit on my show the past while, so I kind of want to know what your opinion on the comet is.
Okay, on Elenin, nobody has anything factual in front of themselves right now. Nobody trusts NASA anymore. The government agencies have really lost all credibility for good reason. What I fall back on with Elenin, I go back to what the comet is classed as. It's classed as basically a ball of junk, debris coming through the air, basically fused together with ice. It builds up a static electricity, granted, it's like this flowing electron out there. But if it were to hit the Earth, there'd be a certain amount of burn-up coming in, and with the ice portion of it, I don't really see it impacting, and the reason I go back with that is because in my vision, I was shown a vision from 1999 and the visitation I had, which we haven't mentioned yet, with the form of Jesus in the middle of the day to a non-religious person. And he showed me right through to 2018. So everything he's shown me so far has been absolutely 100% on, which I would expect it to be. And it was never the thing in there about an impact. Elenin could have a magnetic pull effect on the Earth in the fact that it could tweak us. I mean, we're already wobbling. Our spin is altered already on the Earth. So primarily because the ice caps melted and all that solid base on the north and south, which anchored us on the spin, is now fluid and flowing all over the planet. So that's kind of like having a spinning tennis ball and spraying it with water. If you spray it with enough water, it'll start to affect the spin of the ball, and that's what's happening to us. So that's why now the magnetic North Pole is not over Greenland, but it's over Siberia, because we've tilted. So when Elenin goes by, if you look at the NASA site, it shows the trajectory. It goes past us. Actually goes a lot closer to Venus as it goes past us. And between us and Venus, it starts to veer off its natural curve of travel more to the left. And the reason for that, and NASA has stated on it, because we're much bigger than it, and of course, so our magnetic pole is going to tweak that little comet as it goes by and make it veer off to the left. Now, if it was a meteorite, I'd be way more concerned, because now you're talking about iron, you know, a solid rock coming at you. You there?
Yes, your phone is, I think it's Skype, we're having a tiny bit of interference, and I also hear that that happens to you quite often as well when you're on doing an interview. There always seems to be interference that follows you during all your interviews, so we'll just bear with it and keep going. You mentioned your vision you had. Do you want to go to there and explain to the listeners about that?
Sure, I should explain first off, if you're weak of stamina, I suggest you don't listen to it. I mean, this came to me from the form of Christ, so I don't falter with it, and I give it just like it was, as I'm supposed to do. But it is resonating out there. I went from originally about 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago, started speaking on interviews, and I was pulling in about 75 people, and all of a sudden, about 2 weeks ago on Corker Johnson show, it just took off. I mean, we had 4,000 people, which was a record for his show, and then it took off to, and that same show had 38,000 downloads. So this is really getting out there. So it's making sense to people. So in giving you that, Jesus showed me that, and he showed me some things from 1999, which was also 9/11, which I predicted within 2 days of it happening, and I predicted earthquakes and other things like that. So that's kind of going by me now, so that qualified it for me. 2010, he showed me that the churches would start to absolutely disintegrate, and they are at a huge degree. Now in 2011, I was shown that 2011 is actually really more important than 2012, because it's right now we're forming the steps on a kind of a chess game. That's going to bring the change about in 2012. So the 2012 is the result of this next 12 months. He showed me that in 2012 that China, powering up, would actually create an attack, launch nuclear weapons against Canada, the USA, Great Britain, and Australia. Now, these are four primary countries in the NATO group. So now... he also showed me that that the U.S. Space program, the Star Wars program, will actually is on them all the time, and they'll actually take these four missiles out over Chinese airspace. Now, what's going to happen just before that's going to trigger the Chinese attack is we have to watch for the scenario, as I was shown, is that actually, because the China right now is beefing up Pakistan with weapons like crazy, giving them 50 of these kind of jets, those kind of jets, missiles. They just launched their first aircraft carrier. so they're beefing up Pakistan right now. So initially what will start is that Iran will launch against Israel. Okay, and then as soon as they do that, that's the signal there for Pakistan to launch their rockets against India right next door. So that's going to be the trigger to bring the U.S. and the NATO people in to help India and to help Israel. So as soon as that happens, then that's the Chinese excuse to launch then against the four major NATO countries. So anyway, going back to where these missiles are taken out over Chinese airspace, the next thing I was shown is, and everything from here on works in thirds, just like it is in the Bible, is that from that initial blast that the states create in defending everybody, is that it's going to kill one-third of the world's population, not China's, but the world's. And you can kind of grasp that a little better when you think, remember that China has 1.5 billion people and India has 1 billion people. That's all right in that vicinity. So, and then, of course, there's peripheral outside of that. So from this action then, it'll create a four-year nuclear winter. And then that four-year nuclear winter, there's going to be another third that will perish, and that'll be primarily all the second and third world countries that really have a hard time surviving in better times. That's what they are. So there'll be starvation, a lot of this, and the cold. Now, I think it's 2016. So I've always had he showed me the vision would take us up to 2018. So he never showed me anything from 2016 to 18. Now, that just got filled in 7 years ago. 7 years ago, because I've always been able to channel. I've done the whole thing until I really got my direction. I had my abilities. At one point, I was doing readings for people in London at $700 an hour because I've always been extremely accurate. So I've always been able to channel and very accurately. So 7 years ago, I actually started channeling an ET contact, which absolutely floored me because I believe in UFOs and ET and this sort of thing, but I've never really delved deeply into it. Well, now I'm way into it. So there was a Palladian contact that came through. And for 7 years, I channeled every week for 7 years. And the reason that we didn't say anything was that they asked us to not divulge anything for that 7 years. This is really hard, you know, in some ways. But my wife was up and writing and this sort of thing every time it came through. And so we have a lot of stuff stacked up. And in that time, they actually gave us a lot of evidence, too. One thing they did, for example, was my wife's daughter had been trying to have a child for 8 years. And on one channeling, when he left, he said to my wife, he said, your daughter's with child. And a week later, she called and said she was having a baby. Another time when he left, he said, the last wild herd of buffalo were massacred in southeast Texas. And then he said the year. So we looked that up on the net the next morning, exactly the same terminology and exact year and everything, and in East Southeast Texas. So we've had other stuff, too. So, you know, after 7 years, we've actually, I guess, really built a relationship up. Now, about 7 or 8 months ago, he told me, okay, now it's time for you to now go on and share this, right? So I used to lecture from 2000 to 2004, and a lot of it in England, and actually I did a few lectures in Ontario. The first one, the really good one I did there, was at Kincardine, Ontario, on Lake Huron, and that's right by the nuclear, Bruce nuclear plants. So I'd done some back there, so it didn't bother me to go back out, but now I was going back out, not just with the vision I used to speak about, but also all this ET stuff that's coming in. And in 7 years, they really educated me, not just about the circumstances concerning us here, but actually what space is and what consists of. You know, it's just like our ocean, and it's a vacuum out there, just like our ocean is a vacuum of oxygen to us. And that a lot of things that we see as UFOs are some of those things are actually living beings that go through space, just like amoebas and jellyfish go through the oceans instead of whales and stuff like that. And yeah. It's been very huge, and they gave me my total education too, and a lot of the nations and races that are involved here, and the Greys and the reptilians and the Dracos and that sort of thing, and basically how the world has been run since forever. It's basically the world has really been run by ETs, and they are actually here, and they have been all the time. They're subterranean, they're sub ocean. You know, they're under the water. They have bases, but they have. That's how also the Greys got into the hybrid breeding, was to be able to put hybrid beings into places of power. That's why a lot of the money families and royalty families and things like this, you know, are actually come from the hybrid line. And the reason is that they basically, you know, I guess you could say in their own way that they're related. So a lot of the influence on the hybrids is exercised and then put through into our government positions, our banks, all of our controlling. Now, well, we've been farmed like cattle forever. I mean, we've all been brought up with the ethics of do a hard, long day's work and get up 9 to 5, and if you get overtime, do that too. And for all that, we're going to give you a 2-week holiday, whoopee-woo, and we're going to actually give you something to reward yourself so you can actually live here. We'll give you the money for food and for shelter. And all you have to do is just slave and make all this work produced for us. And that's what I think the biggest shock is. We've lived in ignorance and haven't really known it because we've never been allowed to know our real identity.
So I absolutely agree with that. Now, when you said you were channeling, were you channeling more than one Palladian or person, or was it the same entity every time?
I always had my same entity for most of the 7 years, but he also would come with a group of six sometimes, or four, depending. My wife and I have felt different things that have been done to us. You can't see anything, but you feel things happen in your body. Like just recently, actually, I just felt like an energy go right through my chest. It was amazing. But as this energy flowed through my chest, it's hard to explain it, but I can feel it now and thinking about it, and it's just like this beautiful harmonizing in my chest. And as soon as it finished, I was like totally, I felt like my whole body was in balance. And a lot of changes are coming now because a lot of, remember I said about the third? Well, in another third is involved in that time is that there's going to be one third loss of our landmass from now to 2018 through natural and man-made disasters. But I've had my own contact all this time. Recently, about a month ago, we just started. Actually, I started channeling an Arcturian, and that was interesting how he came in because he is one of the group of seven, the seven nations I was told that are ET. Now there's ET, which I call the good guys, and there's aliens that I refer to as the bad guys. So if you hear me say the two, that's where I'm coming from. But my wife and I were sitting outside just, a few weeks back, and we were watching a white orb traveling north over our ranch, and way high up. And then all of a sudden it lit up, I mean, brilliant, bright white light for about 6 seconds, and then went back to the white orb again. And they channeled through the next night and said that it was an Arcturian ship, and that's who was connecting with me, and that they had actually at that point entered the atmosphere coming in. That's why the light up. Then he went actually on to tell me, just roughly layman's terms, how they do that, and it lights up to such white heat like that. It doesn't affect them because they actually just basically turn the heat back on itself and it neutralizes. So it's kind of gone into a whole new step. But last fall they gave us another evidence, my Palladians, and we went outside, to watch the stars and looked up on a full bright moonlit night, and just exactly as we did, this huge UFO went over us. I mean, it came right over our ranching valley going west towards the ocean, and where we are is in Northern California near Mount Shasta. And what God does was it was flat black, and there were no lights, nothing at all, absolutely no sound. I figure it had to be about 15 to 17,000 feet up. But what was amazing was it was like Independence Day. This ship was at least 2 to even possibly 3 football fields in size. It was monstrous.
Wow.
I mean, massive. It was like a floating city. And it went right over, so, and it went over, almost looked like slow motion because it was so big and at that height, and yet it was still gone in 10 seconds. So, the very next night my plating came through, and had said that there was nothing coincidental about that, that they had kind of given us the direction to go out, the subliminally kind of thing, for us to have the evidence right at that moment. And I said, well, why is your ship here? What's it doing? And he said, it's a Palladian scientific vessel. And he said, we're a complete thing within ourselves. He said, what we do is that we go to the very severe quake areas on the Earth, and then we'll hover over certain those epicenters, and with our equipment, we can harmonize the crust to reduce the aftershocks and to keep things. They're basically holding the planet together for us right now in a lot of ways.
Wow.
So, that was great information. But then, if you look up on YouTube, just look up on Santiago, Chile, January, black UFO, triangular, anything like that. And it'll come up, and there's about a half an hour video where somebody took a video of took a video of exactly this ship. I mean, it's triangular but elongated. It's longer than symmetrical. And it shows that there were the three lights flashing, which we didn't have when it was cruising over here because we're quite remote up here. And it hovered there. But the thing was the night it hovered there over Santiago, Chile, was when they had their big, big quake. So this absolutely confirmed what he has told us about the scientific ship and what it did. Months before.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing. I love it.
It absolutely is, because I've done research in harmonizing and using sound to do certain things, and I strongly believe that there are secrets locked away in sound that we have yet to discover, most definitely. Look at harp, for instance. A lot of people claim that they use harp for weather technology, all sorts of stuff, apparently, and it can apparently create earthquakes. So, they claim it works the same way with, like, harmonizing frequencies.
Yeah, exactly. But what people don't understand is there's 14 harp machines out there. So 14 countries have these. What is going on, folks? There's different things that are happening. One is that because of the spin and being wobbly and all this sort of thing, is that the crust is tweaking. I love that word. It's rubbing against itself because it's not spinning in a smooth way anymore. So it's rubbing against itself. But besides that, that's only part of it. Besides that, there's a war going on right now on this planet, and it's actually a weather war. And these guys with the harps are hitting each other with these weather things that are going on. Something else that's interesting that we're starting to see now, like that big quake that just happened on the East Coast, over in Virginia, is that the seismic readout on that is not conducive to a seismic readout on an earthquake. An earthquake brings in gradual seismic readings that come in and rumble and bigger and bigger and bigger, and then they go bang, and then there's a small trail off. This came up very small, and had a big bang, and then just died off totally. So this was more like some sort of an energy weapon or an explosive. But what happened exactly at that moment, and it's been on all the news, and they say, wow, what a coincidence. No. By setting off this device that we don't understand, because nobody tells us anything, is that as soon as they did that, that turned that wicked Irene storm and put it more out to sea. So I think what they did there is they took the lesser evil and turned that storm around. There's a lot of technology that we don't understand, because we have to, like we've always thought that, well, we got a little bit of technology from Roswell, so it gave us a stealth fighter that can't be seen on radar, and we're kind of getting little pieces of this and that for what we pick up off the ground. Well, we're not. We have to remember that the controlling force here is alien. You know, it's there. So the technology is there. It's just that they don't want to bring it in too fast or too sudden, because, first of all, they have to explain where it came from. They still don't want us to know they're living underground, under the water, for obvious reasons. What you have to really watch with the government agencies is, because they are run by these guys, that's the controlling heads of them. For example, today, now I'm going to put a plug in here, because there's a fellow, Robert Mann, and what's his site? I'll dig it out. But World Examiner News. Put that on Facebook, and you'll get to his site. But Robert Mann, M-A-N-N, is on Facebook. He has a team. I watched them work last night on an interview I was on when the blackout hit. This team, there's about four or five of them, and each one has a job. And they are searching sources and everything. Like, they all have their areas of expertise. And they're bringing together all the pieces that they find out, and they confirm everything, and this is the key. This man is my only source of resources, because I know they check everything out. But what they were finding out last night was there was also a lot of flares coming and hitting the Earth too. But it didn't make sense, because the areas that were hit weren't conducive to flare activity. Today now they've actually released that there was in Southern California, there was a major electrical line was severed. Now, they're not saying how it was severed or anything, so they're still not telling us anything. But this team, for example, today I was online here and talking with them, and I watched them work again, because my family's up on Vancouver Island, and Vancouver and a friend from England popped in and said, well, you better look at the USGS, there's been a hit. So I looked on it, and it's Vancouver Island got hit today. Now, that was 6.6 that hit, just off the west side. We're getting interference. Just off the west side. And that looked, and USGS put it on there. There's a 6.6, you know, where it was. That was fine. But what this team found out, they get in really fast to where all this is recorded before the government can change or delete anything. And they pulled it right up there, and they even have a picture of the schematic showing the dots. And there's actually, you know what happened out there today? There was a triple hit. In 10 seconds, there was a 6-6, a 6-6, and a 6-7. In 10 seconds.
Wow.
Now, that is something that we need to know about, because that's three huge major hits. You get one major hit, and they say, well, something really cracked there. Well, this is damage. I mean, this is big stuff. And I caught them last week. Actually, about 4 days ago, there was a 3.2 right off the main island of Hawaii. And I posted it right away, because I'm on it too, and I get alerted. And I posted it, and as soon as I went back and looked again, they had taken it totally off the record. There's nothing, and there's still nothing there, saying that this Hawaii had the 3.2.
Wow.
So they're doctoring everything up. They don't want us to know how bad it is, and it's bad. You know, what we're heading into is really bad stuff, and I really want to get, one of my places in Canada to really get to is Toronto, because, you know, I just love Toronto. It's an awesome place, and I love Chinatown. But there's so much going on there, and I really want to get to the big cities like Toronto, Vancouver, L.A., San Francisco, you know, New York, all these big places, because bad enough that we could be facing, you know, quakes, and the quakes are happening inland, mid-continent, and everywhere. No one's really safe from them, though. And these big cities have to have a plan. I mean, the cities won't. I'll tell you now, whatever plans they have just can't handle where we're going. So individuals need to have their own plans. They need their at least minimum of 6 months of water and food. And I tell people, too, is that if you're on medications, start stockpiling it, because when buildings are down on the ground, you're not going to be able to walk into a pharmacy. So I want people to be prepared, because it's coming. And you also want to think about the factor that the worst of the worst comes out, especially in the big cities. You know, while the emergency crews are out there helping to dig people out and stuff like that, you have your gangs that are always there, either breaking into jewelry stores, robbing banks, and I hate to say it, but it's the truth, and you're going to have people out there that have always wanted to murder somebody under perfect cover, and rapists. I mean, every deviant's going to be out there. Now, I'm not spreading fear, I'm spreading reality. So I want everybody to start thinking about, if it happened, are you ready? Most aren't.
That's right. Most people aren't, and should be, because it's inevitable. It's going to happen. Like, with the way the world's run, our governments, the way everything's going, just like for instance, like, we're getting solar flares one after another. We're getting storms one after another. Our governments are not for the people. They're for the corporations. We all know this, you know what I mean? So the times we're in is just, and it's going to get worse. It's obviously going to get worse before it gets better, if it even gets better.
Well, there's other things. I hate to pile it onto you tonight, but if you want the reality of our total situation is, NASA has put out recently a report on the particles coming to Earth from the sun are deteriorating at a faster rate than ever. This means that the sun is backing off, and part of the backing off of its power is part of the solar flare problem. It's flaring up because it's actually getting like burps is what it's doing, because the sun is sick. Okay, suns are energy balls that are born, and they also die just as the Earth does. We think the Earth will go on forever. It's a living being. And we've ravaged it, you know. And then we have other things going on, too, like we all know about the ozone. I don't care whose fault it is, you know. I never have worried about whose fault it is about the ozone. Let's just recognize it. And then we have to, because there's no ice left. But another thing that's coming with the ozone problem is that we have a star. The biggest star in our galaxy is called Betelgeuse, just like the movie. And Betelgeuse is about to supernova. Now, for the folks that don't know that, that's explode. Now, this is far enough out that we won't get hit with anything physical, but NASA is also concerned about what the gamma rays that we'll get hit by massively are going to do to our ozone. So, you know, there's a lot of things that are coming down. Now, what's really interesting is when I brought in about the 7 years ago, and that the ET came in, and the 2 years I didn't know about, from 2016 to 18. Sorry, I guess this thing going, is that they told me that as of 2000, 16, that there'll be basically a big rescue going on. There's going to be intervention. Don't forget, there'll be one-third of the population left. Of that one-third, there's going to be a lot of bad guys in that, too. So what's going to happen here is basically that the people that are bad, in the biblical sense, that, you know, the ones that were the greed mongers here, you know, a lot of these guys are going to run underground when it gets bad. But when they come out, they're going to be facing what's left. And that's what they're going to live in. Now, the ones of us, everybody's heard about the conscious ascension. That's basically the evolution of humanity. Okay, so we're going to, there's a lot of us here that are going to evolve into a higher conscious state. So those that are left at that point of the game at the end are going to basically be airlifted. We're going to be relocated off this planet to what I'm calling Earth 2. Now, I'm not leading anybody. I'm a messenger. I don't want any cult. I don't want anybody following me. I don't want anybody committing suicide because it don't get you anywhere. Okay, so what I'm sharing with you on this Earth, too, is the ultimate plan. When we think about it, is that God, throughout history, many histories, has created planets, put us on here to do what we do, and evolve into the higher beings. It's basically to remember who we were at the end of, as to who we are when we arrive, the pure soul. So every time that he puts us on a planet, we evolve, and then, or we don't, and then we get to a point where we, because of the learning process that we go through, is that we burn the planet out. That's what we've done. So what happens is, yes, a lot of people die, but you know, go beyond the dying part. I mean, if you're spiritual, you know that your soul goes back to heaven. Let's call it heaven, okay, for another name. Is that we go back to God. So we never lose. It's just whether we go back there. We're going to die one way or the other in this life. There's no doubt about that. So the point is that a lot are going to go back. Two-thirds are going to go back to God in soul form. Okay, they're going to leave the bodies here. Well, a portion of that third that's left is actually, as I said, going to be relocated to what I'm calling Earth 2. Now, the reason for that is because even in the Bible it states something about the 1,000 years of peace. So that's basically the people that are going to go from here via ET evacuation to the next planet that's already picked out and waiting for us. They're the ones that are going to be the new seed for people and souls on that next planet. There's also going to be quite a relocation of animals and mammals that will be done with these ships. They have the technology. Don't even think about that. But in one of my channels about 2 months ago, is I was given an alphanumeric designation. Now, this is a sequence of about 6 numbers and letters. So we put that into NASA in the morning. And it comes up. It comes up on NASA, and it's a planet. And I looked up on it and read on it. And NASA states that this is within reasonable distance from the Earth, this planet. And they believe that this planet could support life. And this is the exact alphanumeric designation they gave me out of the blue in one of my channels. So I have no doubt that it's out there. I'm not giving that out for obvious reasons, because it could create a real zoo. So I'm not supposed to do that. But it is out there, trust me.
Now, in your other interview, too, as well, I heard, I know you can't talk a lot about this, but in British Columbia, Canada... you've seen some stuff, or a friend of yours seen some stuff. Can you elaborate a tiny bit on that? I know you don't really like talking about it and getting into it, so you don't really have to, but can you just elaborate for us of what was seen? Or
yeah, I can give you a little bit. You know, I'll share something else with you. A lot of things that happened to me from that, but I mean, I know I have the CIA watching me. I'm not paranoid. I actually had somebody friend me that's with the CIA, and they never speak to me, but CIA things all over the place on there. But anyways, it's a little touchy, so I don't want to get into agencies and things, but basically I was working up on the north there on the Alaska Highway in 97 when Beetlejuice was, not Beetlejuice, what's the name of that going over the comet? You know, that one everybody committed
to.
Hale-Bopp. Yeah, thank you. It was going over, and I was going up there, and I noticed off to the Yukon Mountains, I was on patrol up there, and I noticed that a light, you know, so I got stopped and got my binoculars out and looked at it, and I had somebody with me, And so, anyway, it was flashing lights, all these different colors. So, you know, and then it kind of took off and went up and disappeared. So I came back, and at that time, some trucks came through an American convoy going up to Alaska with, loaded with missiles and weapons, cruise missiles and such. And anyway, the bottom line, was, without getting too technical here, or not too technical, but too deep in, because I don't want to get fried on this too quickly, is that the driver came back and said he'd seen a UFO. So I said, where is that? And he told me the location. I said, that's where I saw one 2 weeks ago. And there was an MP nearby, and he took him aside and basically told him, you don't ever speak about anything you see in a convoy. So they went up to the second trip. When he came back, there was nobody near us. And as he went past me, I said, so did you see anything else? You know, just joking around. He barely looked at me and kept his head down so nobody could see him turn his head. And he said, the only thing I can tell you, he said, is I can't believe what occurred on the way up there. And he said, and I can't tell you. He said, if they see me talking to you, I'm going to disappear. So right after that, I decided to leave the job. And 2 years later, I was going to rent a place up on the island there. And so, you know, we put in for a credit check and all this for the realtor. And he came back and he says, you know, there's something wrong. You know, the guy told me to ask you, you know, have you ever had credit? And I said, of course I have. And he said, well, it shows you absolutely no credit record and you're like 52 years old. And I said, well, yeah, I've had stuff. And he said, well, you know, you don't have to answer me, but the guy said to ask you if it has anything to do with the CIA or U.S. to do with the CIA or CSIS, because they're the only ones that have the power to do that. So, you know, I'm not stupid. I said, well, I can't answer that because I want to get the rental, right? So basically, they wiped out my credit history. And as he said, and the credit bureau guy said, is that the only ones that can do that, CIA or CSIS. So that was the first thing. And then the second thing was I applied for a job, and so I wanted a reference for my job up there, which was enforcement with the government. And when all that happened, and I got a letter back, and I still have the letter, and I have all my training forms, you know, all my diplomas from when I worked with them. They'll probably come and hit me for those next. But they sent a letter back saying, I'm sorry, but we have no record of you ever working for the government. So they cleared all that out. And then about 2 years after that, I was having coffee one summer. I was lecturing on this stuff, and I was having coffee. I took a summer off up on the island. I had coffee every day with this older American fellow, and he was really nice. Said he was a producer down in Burbank and yada yada. So we had coffee for about 2 months like that every morning. He'd always buy my coffee. And then one day, it was really bitter coffee, and I said, boy, I mean, we got the bottom of the pot on this, and we laughed about it, and then I left. But I was riding my bicycle, and I was going over to where I was staying, and all of a sudden, I don't know what happened, but I just ended up on the ground, fell off my bike. And I looked down, and my knee was all torn, and then I looked up, and there was an ambulance depot right there, which was perfect, so I went up with my bike, and he said, looks like you hurt yourself. And I said, yeah. And he said, you can fix it. And he said, sure, come here. So we walked towards each other. I lost 2 days. At that point there, I have no memory. They said I lost my memory by the time I got to them. I don't know where I was for 2 days. You know, they can tell me what they want. But I ended up in a hospital and waking up, and they said they found in my knapsack my daughter's contacts, and they were coming in to see me. But here's a pen and paper, write down anything at all, no matter what it is that you remember about being passed out for 2 days. So, you know, normally people would say, tell me what you remember about your life before now, and give it to us and don't show anybody else. So that was really weird, but it was the weirdest feeling, because when I came out of that, it's hard to explain the feeling, because I came out of there and I was alive and I was looking around. I had no idea who I was. I had no idea of humanity, of the earth. I absolutely, as if I had not one thought to remember anything from. It was like my head was clean. And it took 2 days of working on it, but I finally started to get it all back. But I still don't know what happened to those 2 days. So there's a lot of things that have happened to me between then and now.
So you have had problems with certain agencies or groups then, for what you know?
I've never had any harassment, any problems. The only not out in the open. But as you say, just about this is a really good show because we must have deeped them out here because they have, when I first started, they hacked out just about every show I had, and I mean within minutes. Some of the shows, they let me go for a while, but as soon as they start to talk about the Greys, or anything like that, then they start to get static or they start to cut in. But the ET connection I have runs a lot of interference. I did an interview with Martin Horst on the ET First Contact Radio about 2 months ago in the Netherlands. And we got hacked so severely, and the tech guy said it was a really professional hack. In seconds, we were gone. And he said, you know, we're off the air. It's shown here as no connection to any server, no satellite. We're dead in the water, and it says no audience. And then people started typing into the chat room saying, well, we can hear you. And we heard this garbly noise right about then. So he said, this is impossible. We're actually broadcasting without a connection to a server. And so what he ascertained, it was some kind of a rogue signal that came in that he was able to carry the show on. We did the show for 2.5 hours with absolutely no connection. When we ended the show ourselves, then the server came back up right at that second. But there was a garbly noise at the end too. And see, here we go. And you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hearing that?
Yeah, we hear it loud and clear. It's a lot of garbling and exactly what you're explaining to us right now.
Exactly. Now, they'll come in and start getting at me at certain points. And when we played this back immediately after the show while I was still online, they played it back to the garble at the beginning of the interview and at the end. And it was, we heard the sounds. We heard clicking sounds and almost like robotic sounds, syllable things. And it was ET actually speaking through because when I channel, it comes through like clicking sounds, like on Signs with Mel Gibson on the movie.
Yeah.
That's how it comes through me. The sounds come out of me like this clicking sounds. And what's amazing is I saw it years ago and totally forgot about it. A fellow here has just written a book online here, and it's about the Hopi Indians and this tribe in Africa and their connection to the stars. And I've seen this before, and maybe other listeners will know it. It's a tribe in Africa that speaks in click. They actually communicate verbally with clicking sounds. Now, we never knew that this is actually ET language, that they have had a lot of communication in their history and not been interfered with by the modern world. They're actually still speaking ET language, the clicking sounds.
Yeah, without a doubt, I'm a firm believer in the ancient alien stuff. I believe what some people call angels, I call aliens.
Exactly.
Totally believe that. You were speaking earlier about the Greys, and every time you talk about the Greys, you get garbled up. Let's sidestep over to the Greys for a minute. What do you know about the Greys?
Well, the Greys came here way at the beginning of time. They were here and they were mining the planet, and they were utilizing the planet. Well, you know, then God created life, right? So everything kind of works in together. But the Greys took this opportunity to interfere with God's plan, and here's where they're getting in so much trouble now. God created man in his likeness, and then where the Greys have come in is they started doing the hybrid breeding to be able to overpower and redirect us in our lives here that God planned for us. They interfered with God's plan. The hybrid breeding, again, is interfering with God's creation. So this is where all this is coming to a big hammer now. Now, the aliens, the extraterrestrials out there, they have their pacts and their agreements and stuff like this. So the Greys and the reptilians and these, they really have stepped out of protocol in what they've done here. So now what's happening is they've been put on notice, you must cease and desist. Like you've heard people saying for a while now that the Greys have been told to stop hybrid breeding, and they have. and they have. So that's the first step. But they're still not ready to relinquish. So what's coming in now is that the governments have been told by the seven nations that I deal with that they have to bring disclosure about to the people, because they come and they are going to arrive. They still don't want to relinquish that. So now, about a month ago, I was told, and I on one of my interviews, that they will be coming in. They'll be coming in next year and doing fly-throughs with their ships, anywhere from 3 or 10 or even 300 at times, coming into our airspace and flying out again. Now that is to force disclosure. That's not no other purpose than that, than to give us evidential stuff that we can't deny, that will force a disclosure. But now the governments have been told this. Now what they're doing now, and I want to make everybody aware of this, is they know they've been told that this is what's going to happen next year in 2012 in spring. So what they're doing now is they're putting out movies in Hollywood showing us being invaded. It's even been on the news, on TV, on, you know, regular programming, saying alien invasion force, you know, coming this way, all this stuff, because they want us to believe that the disclosure pressure next year by the fly-throughs is actually an invasion, and it's not. But this is why now suddenly they're bringing all of these stories about alien invasion of the Earth. They're also starting to do other things that in the last 6 months, like NASA announced 6 months ago, wow, we have just suddenly found 50 planets within actual distance of here that could actually support, extraterrestrial life. They've always known about it. I mean, it's part of their knowledge and their existence. And then they said recently, well, we sent out a device up to the moon to punch a hole in it to see if there's water. Well, now they're saying we're going to send up another one to punch a hole in the moon because we might have some earth-shattering news for you. And the news is that we believe that the moon might be hollow. This is NASA. This is the next mission that's going up. And you got to think, this is insane. What is this guy talking about? But what it is, the moon is really, it's the moon. But when they say hollow, what it is there's always been bases on the moon. The moon is like an outpost of the Earth for the Greys and these guys. So the reptilians. So what we're doing is we're getting all this, excuse me, but this bullshit coming at us. That is all BS, and it's BS. But they're trying to feign surprise themselves. But the thing is, they've always known. We're dealing with. We've been led through ignorance, and the church is just as guilty. The church has always been in cahoots with the government. The church has created, inquisitions and murdered people, and it's all been on behalf of the Greys. Wars are started by the reptilians and their breeding, and then the Greys come along and make the profit off it. So they've used us even to kill ourselves to kill each other for profit. And as we start to understand this, of course, it's going to be really bad for those that have been controlling us. And there's a perfect thing recently I saw on the internet here. I forget his name. I'm terrible for names. But one of the past astronauts, and he said the truth will set you free, but first it will piss you off. And they know that.
Yeah, I totally agree. Hellraiser, do you have any questions for our guest?
I've tried to put a couple of them in, and you've covered a few of them now. My thing was mainly I was going to start asking about the hybrid programming and stuff like that, because that was something that I'd heard him mention in one of the other interviews that I've listened to as well, with the whole Greys and stuff like that. Now, would that be in comparison to, per se, like the Nephilim type thing in reference of the texts and stuff like that, or?
The good way to understand this hybrid breeding and all this stuff, first you have to understand who the Greys are and how the Bible works with that, about Satan, who is God's trusted angel who was cast out, right? What we have to do is we have to start taking this understanding of the Bible and start putting it into extraterrestrial.
Yeah, well, I'm already there with you, okay? For that part of it there, I'm into the Hebrew and stuff like that text. And, yeah, it very plainly talks about aliens and UFOs. I can agree with that. You know, I'm using that that terminology because that's something I'm familiar with, right?
Yeah. Well, it's as I say, the Nephilim, I've heard about Nephilim, and I'm going to be honest with you, I don't really know a lot about the Nephilim, what that's in reference to.
They were supposedly a hybrid between our species and the quote-unquote gods. The sons of God and the sons of man were supposedly, the children of them were the Nephilim, or hybrids.
Yeah,
and supposedly that was what the what some of the past major cataclysmic events were about, were attempts to actually wipe the Nephilim off the face of the earth.
Well, the thing is that the hybrids, I mean, are really the innocent guilty in the middle. Okay, it's kind of like, you know, I mean, in Canada you can understand this, and I kind of rub things in because I'm Canadian too, but. You know, in the history of Canada, you know, when the trappers came out and they started to marry and have children with the Indian girls and stuff, then you had the Métis children. And the Métis children weren't liked by the whites and they weren't liked by the Indians. So it's just very much the same kind of a thing with the hybrids. Okay, so there's a kind of semi-innocent result in the middle that's tainted. So the thing is that, like, the hybrids will not be going on to the next stage. Because that's not God's creation, okay? And that's the reason that they won't be. What I was getting at about Satan being cast out in the Battle of the Angels, basically it was the Greys and the Reptilians that tried to turn against the Creator. Like I said to, and they were cast out, and they were put down here. They can't just wander the universe. They're actually very restricted, and that's why they try and control everything here, because this is where they are. So. Like, and another thing I want to bring up is I said to my contact, I said, okay, I'm Jeff, and this is my wife, and you have a name, and so, like, we know the name of God is God. I said, is that God's name, and how did that come about? And he said, and I said, you know, who's your God? And he said, well, your creator is our creator. There's only one creator. He said, but God actually stands for geometry of design, G-O-D, God. He said, it's like, so it's kind of like us calling Van Gogh, the painter, painter instead of by his name. So we're calling God, God, because of the description of what he does. He geometrically designs the universe. It's not his name, it's his description.
Right on. I got another question real quick for you. You said you can channel, or you have for 7 years, the Palladians, and I heard in other interviews something about channeling spirits or being able to, something like that. Now my question to you is channeling the same for spirits as it is for the entities?
I find channeling for spirit more work, because usually I'm setting up for them, whereas my ET contacts set up for me. It's like when I do ET, they come to me when I'm in bed, when I'm sleeping or just waking up, in a kind of a half sleep. That's when they come through. And it's interesting because my wife and I are going to start actually audio recording what is said when they come through, because there's the clicking sounds and then the English. But in between that, there's also sort of like there's also different ET languages that come out, and I tried to duplicate that when I'm awake, and I just can't do it because they speak so fast, and they're like in double syllable words. It's very interesting. So we're going to start doing that, but spirit is totally different, because spirit is when you're going with spirit, you're talking about interdimensional communication, okay? So that's like going from an individual to an individual in a spiritual sense. Whereas, even though on the other side, they are all consciousness. But when you have a physical being dealing with you with consciousness, through consciousness, it's a different type of communication than a spiritual consciousness, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, I've got a question with the thing. I myself used to deal with some shamanism and stuff like that, so I'm familiar a little bit with the spirit realm and stuff like that. Now, I'm wondering about, to rephrase it a little bit, Trevor sort of put it up as a question as well. Have you noticed or felt any malign feelings about any of these spirits that have approached you? Or are they generally, on the whole, a positive thing? Or are there a mixture of them? And in comparison to now versus when you first encountered them?
When I first encountered them, I'm always curious. I'm always on my guard, and I'm watching, and you know, I always go by my sixth sense on how I feel about something. Your intuition is always your best guide. As I said, though, I've also, over time, you know, had them qualify, you know, as to who they are, and okay, so, you know, can you leave us some evidence so that I know I'm not dreaming here, kind of thing, you know, just my own way of saying it. And they started to see that. In 7 years, it was never anything but love and kindness and compassion. It's almost like they feel sorry for us in so many ways, and I'm starting to see why. I remember reading something in the 60s, because I'm no young pup, I'm 63 now. I remember reading something on a UFO encounter in the 60s, and it was a woman in Kansas came out of her house in the middle of nowhere, with her, you know, had her kids in bed, and she saw a bright light outside, and she went outside her house, and it was in the country, and there was like a UFO extremely close, like maybe 400 or 500 yards away. And she had actually, she said in the story that she could actually see almost like Nordic looking beings, well, these are Pleiadians, in actually windows that she was able to see them. And she said, I'll never forget the look on the woman's face looking at me. And she said the compassion and the sadness for me was so strong in her eyes. And that's what it is. The ETs that are coming to help us, in many ways, are our brothers and sisters. And they're actually really, we don't know that we've been captive as basically hard labor forever here. That's why we've never evolved properly here. That's why we're still a mess, guys, because we've never really been allowed to evolve. You know, it's kind of like our, yeah. Everybody knows that we use a small percentage of our brain. The reason is because it's never been fed. It's not because we haven't evolved to it, because we haven't been allowed to utilize it. We haven't been given those kind of, the kind of knowledge that we could have that would just stretch our learning and our imaginations. So if you take somebody, two guys in school and put them in grade one, and then you only teach half the stuff to one and everything to the other, by the time hopefully they get to any kind of graduation point, one probably won't graduate at all. The other one will go find colors and move on. Well, we're the ones that were fed not even half the knowledge we should have had. And that's, you know, it's an analogy, but it's all love and it's compassion. But at the same time, there's also dark energies working here. I mean, I've had them hit on me like crazy here. I had a stalker here recently that I found out in the end actually was stalking 9 other people that are public figures. And people from 2 years ago coming up saying the same person has like 12 aliases on Facebook, and it's a nightmare. And they created a whole bad stuff, but it also brought a lot of us together very strongly as a unit. But what it showed me is that for that short time that person was really giving us a hard time, it really threw us off track. So it made it really hard for us to really stay focused on what we're doing right now. And that's what the dark energies are doing. You know, the ones that are hybrids or they just are that way directed, you know, through energy. So there's a big war going on, a big battle. It's the best way to describe it that I do is that there's this huge game, intergalactic game going on, and we haven't been invited to play. So we're all standing around saying, what in the hell is going on? You know, like you said at the start, earthquakes, tornadoes, you know, birds flying into things and the dang of blood force trauma. Well, you know what? There's actually ships up there above us all the time. And if they weren't cloaked, you'd be seeing them. I mean, we've been feeling things here lately, and the fellow that actually interviewed me last night is in Minnesota, and Corker Johnson, and he shared with me recently, they woke up the other night, and there was like this huge sound of almost like an aircraft over their house, and he ran outside, I mean, instantly, and it was still intense when he was going outside. When he got outside, there was absolutely nothing there. And my wife and I in California on our ranch, we'll be working in the garden, and all of a sudden we feel ourselves go quiet and still, and then it's almost like you feel a pressure, an air pressure pushing down on you from the top. And it's kind of a feeling you would feel if you looked up and there was a massive ship that was lowering itself and you're in this landing path. There's a lot of stuff that's going on up there. There's a thing years ago that now disappeared off YouTube that it showed a guy was filming over Denver, Colorado, and there was a flock of birds. I think there were geese that were going over the city, and they just flew into his film, and they actually slammed into something he couldn't see in the air, and the entire flock stopped suddenly and just dropped to the ground. And this is why. It's that there's a lot of aircraft, that a lot of UFOs out there that are here all the time that are cloaked. And believe me, if we can do even the radar cloaking with stealth bombers, I'm sure that with their technology, they can totally disappear when necessary.
Well, it's thought that a lot of their disappearing stuff is extra-dimensional.
I would like to touch on what you just said. One night I was sitting here and I was doing my show, a radio broadcast, and I had the exact same thing you just described happen to me, but the way I described it was like when you were younger and your friends had big stereos in their car. I'm only 31, so when my friends would have big stereos, you get that bass, you know, the feeling from bass? That's what it felt like. It felt exactly like that, but I couldn't hear bass. It just felt like that vibration I get from bass. And I knew it was coming from above. It was windy as hell. I looked outside. I couldn't see anything. But this bass, no matter where I walked, in my house or outside or anything, I could not tell where it was coming from. I couldn't tell if it was coming from the right, the left, above me, below me, in front of me. I could not tell.
Yeah. Well, people are getting that now, too, all over the world. You're starting to hear about this droning sound that's heard on different parts of the world right now, like a droning sound.
Yeah.
And people don't know what it is. I'll tell you what it is. It's subterranean boring. They're boring tunnels, and they're basically making better defenses under the ground. For, you know, like when all this happens and all the really bad stuff is happening on the surface that we're all being left to deal with, we've all heard about how the Illuminati, which are basically your Greys and the rest of them, and the hybrids, that that they're building cities under the ground, and when it's bad, they'll go under there and they come out later, kind of thing. Well, that's what they're doing. They're expanding things right now because they will take their hybrids down there. I mean, they have a lot invested in the hybrids. They're already trained and they're already used. So that's what's going to happen. This droning that we're hearing is actually within the Earth's core, and it's boring. It's boring equipment that is actually creating tunnels connecting different parts of continents.
Wild. So you obviously then, if you said the Illuminati and the hybrids, you obviously believe that aliens are intermixed with the so-called, I guess, New World Order, you could put it.
The New World Order is exactly that, the aliens and the hybrids. They get to the point that they don't really want us here anymore. That eventually it will be the aliens and it will be the hybrids. Now, if you, I'm not saying every person in China, believe me, I don't generalize, but there's a lot of the Grays breeding originally was done with the Asian people. And the reason I say that is because if you take anything, look up Grays and look at the descriptions that people have had abductions and encounters with Grays, and has described them, and they've been drawn the same way every time, with the big eyes and the slight figure and the small stature. It's actually very alien in structure, as well with the almond eyes and everything. So it's very obvious, you know, that the Greys did a lot of this. Now, the reason I'm bringing that up is that this is why it's China that's moving forward. China has such a massive, a massive 1.5 billion population that they can't really feed right now as it is. So they have to expand. But the thing is that they're at that point because of all the hybrid breeding. There's a ton of it. It was done with other nationalities too, but very heavily with the Chinese. That's why there's such a massive population in China, more so than compared with anywhere else in the world. And that's why this huge nuclear thing that's coming up is coming from China, because it's coming from the Greys. Boy, they're at me now.
We have a question from the chat for you, and it is just a second, they're scrolling too fast. The Dropa people.
The which?
The Dropa people. They found the circle stones in the caves.
I'm losing you.
Yeah.
The circle stones that they found in the caves, in the Dropa stones, yeah, in China.
Yeah.
No, I'm not familiar with that. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm honest. If I know what you're talking about, I'll tell you. But if I don't, it's not something I've been made privy to, or that I've read up on.
No, it's just the Dropa story goes along with the Chinese alien hybrid theory. Per se.
You're breaking up, bro. Bad bing, blinks.
Oh, am I? I'll drop out and join right back in. Hang on.
It's an alien race from China. I'm not as familiar with it as Trevor is. Are you back there, blinks? Now?
I do believe I am. Am I good now?
Clear.
Yeah, I can hear you. Now.
The Dropa people, it suggests it goes along with the alien Chinese hybrid theory, per se, and they found the stones up in the mountains and stuff in China, and to this day they don't know how these stones were made.
Boy, it's getting bad. Wow. Wow. You know, if you play this back afterwards and slow it down like other stations have done, you'll get more out of those sounds.
Really, eh? Well,
yeah, they've slowed some of the sounds down. Mm-hmm. We're doing one that actually happened last night. They're analyzing it. It came in just like a conduit echo out of a tube. It was really strange, but if you slow it down, you'll hear stuff in there, but you have to really kind of find the right speed for it. But there's a lot of interference coming in now because they really don't like this topic at all. They don't. But as far as I say, you know, this. You know, hybrids basically are hybrids. You know, and everything that's here, other than us, that came from the God source, is actually alien. Wow, it's getting worse.
Yeah. So this has been going on with you your whole life, like ever since you're 4 years old. This has been happening to you.
I've been extremely conscious. Yeah, since I was 4 years old. We came to Canada when I was six. And everybody was sick on the ship coming over. So I had my sixth birthday mid-Atlantic. And the only thing I really remember about that is everybody was sick. So I got to sit at the tables with Irish linens on them. And the stewards and stewardesses would come up and feed me all this ice cream on my birthday. But I remember at that time thinking that I'm six now, so now I'm responsible for myself. I went through life and I never really fit anywhere, you know, and a lot of people relate to that. And I've had a lot of people come to me. And another interesting thing is the starseed, and we've all heard about that. For every one of God's planets, every one of his creation sessions, is that there's always the end time. And that moves on that portion that goes to the next planet of the ones who have evolved the most to start it off on the right footing. So the starseeds are not necessarily those people, but the starseeds are the ones that come in at this point in time for God on every planet that we progress from. That we come in here and we go through the awakening process. For example, I'm here to, and people ask me why, you know, I mean, I'm not a whiz banger, I'm not some genius or anything else. For whatever reason, and it's probably because of being a starseed, this is what I do every time one of God's plans is closing down. Is I basically come in and I lecture and I talk and I'm given the information. I'm extremely fortunate. I mean, it's all very clear for me. I don't have any doubts at all. I mean, when you have a daytime visitation with Jesus and you're not a religious person but you're spiritual, it's something that you don't conjure up in your head. And then for him to give me all this visionary work to do and to work with, and it's all accurate, it's all very helpful too. And then for this stage of the game 7 years ago, as I said, the ETs came in and filled in the other part of it. So I have all this fantastic communication going on every week. And this is my job, I guess. This is my job. I go out there and I share. And you know, when Jesus left me, he said, and it's like, Brendan, come on, you guys, quit it. it was burned to the stone. It's like he said, do not convert, do not convince, light the spark, the work is theirs. So I don't convert anybody, and I'm not trying to convince anybody. I'm giving everybody a message that Jesus gave me, and that lights the spark in you. And then you guys do the work with that and make it resonate or not resonate with you. And that's what I do. I just keep moving along, and I just keep talking. And I do that well.
Yeah, you do a very good job at what you do, and I'm very glad that you're doing this, because most people, when they know certain things, they just won't talk about it in fear of their family or their lives or just anything that they're connected to in general, because people seem to have bad luck when they know certain stuff, if you know what I mean.
Well, I've taken a lot of heat simply because it's not all good news, but it really is. It's actually really good news. We're coming to a place of awareness. There's never any ignorance. No bliss in ignorance at all. That's just something that holds you back and stops any kind of positivity in your life. So I'm very happy to be doing this, and then that fact that it helps me to do it. I have no worry about what people think about me. I'm more concerned about what Jesus thinks about me. And as I said, I'm not a religious person. You'll never find me in a church, because he also told me, do not align with any one person nor any one institution. So no matter what people tell me, I have to stay totally straight on my course with that. Like, I have a lot of people on here in a very good, meaningful way. They say, hey, have you heard about what so-and-so, like Nidal, is talking about, or Sal USA, Sal USA? And I say, no, I couldn't tell you. And they say, well, shouldn't you be? No, I have my message, and they have theirs. And I'm not saying they're wrong or that I'm wrong. What I'm saying is that we all have something to give, and then it either resonates with people or it doesn't. Now, the people that resonate towards Nidal and Sal USA are the ones that are going towards the happy ending with the bliss and the happy ascension up into the heavens. We all flow through into the next dimension, or the Earth crosses the equator of the universe that we don't really know if even exists, into another place. That doesn't resonate with me. So I'm the first person to come along in the midst of all this happy ascension stuff to actually tell you what the work is still to be done here and how it's going to come out. And the reason I'm doing that is because that's what Jesus showed me to do, and that's the biggest reason I'm doing it. So it's not that I'm saying they're wrong, I don't want to hear them. I'm not supposed to listen to any church or any individual that could put, I guess, any kind of sway of any kind of doubt in my message of what I have. So I stay focused on what I was shown and only that. That's my truth.
Right on. Yeah, we have a lot of hosts and stuff here that feel the same, exact same way. You had a question, Hellraiser?
Well, I was going to say, so what you're saying is you did, sort of like Edgar Casey, you did question where the source of this was coming from at the beginning. Is that what you were saying there? Or?
Well, kind of similar. Edgar Casey is follow a lot of the things that I've been shown, actually. Just the timing is always tough, you know, when as far back in time as Edgar Casey from what's happening. The only thing with Edgar Casey is that I'm really familiar with him. I did a lot of reading of him when I was younger, and Edgar Casey actually didn't remember a lot of what he channeled. He actually read it afterwards. He was very basically out of it at that point.
Sorry, what I was going towards more was the fact that he was, for the first bit of his channeling, Casey was absolutely scared that he was being contacted by evil entities.
The reason for that, though, is because I would really have to wonder sometimes, too, if I didn't have a conscious part in it. He also knew that he went out of it and didn't know anything that was being said until afterwards. And in some ways, that's a very using sort of a thing. So I could see how he would be really concerned about where it was coming from. I mean, it came through. I mean, if you read up on a lot of his channels, and he has thousands of them, is that it was medical and stuff like that. It was a very detached sort of energy. It wasn't like my channeling is very compassionate, very loving, and I can hear it, and I'm with it. I know what's going on. And if I was him going through that kind of thing, I'd be nervous.
Yeah, okay. No, I'm trying to, noticing some of the comments and stuff like that going through and stuff like that. I'm trying to help bring that, you know, that kind of an ad, or, you know, that you know, because as I said, some of your other interviews, you really got into this kind of stuff and, you know, yeah. how you perceived it and stuff like that. So,
yeah,
I have a little bit more of a knowledge than some of the other listeners do.
Yeah, no, I can give a little heads up tonight. I'm really tired tonight. This is my third interview in 3 days. So, yeah, you know, and I tend to go fast. I'm not being argumentative, believe me, that's the last thing I want to do. It's just that I can understand how he felt. You know, it was really, in some ways, a personally abusive type of channeling, really, because it, like with me, I can turn it away if I don't want it. If I'm really tired or I feel sick,
okay.
and I can feel
so
it come in, I don't
open to
it.
What I was experiencing when I was dealing with spirits and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Was more of the actual control over whether you take the call or not.
Exactly. So in his case, yeah, it would bother me, I'll tell you, if somebody just came in and took me over and shut me off for a while.
Now, I have a quick question for you, Mr. Faulkner. It's you've channeled the Palladians. Have you ever had an experience similar to the Billy Meyer experience where the Palladians have actually came and talked to you?
I haven't had a physical yet, but it is coming. It is coming. I'm kind of excited about that. You can hear it in my voice, maybe. But we've been told recently that we are going to be actually taken aboard, and it's going to be that large triangular scientific ship, and we're actually going to go out a ways, basically, and be shown a lot of things and come back. And the reason for that is just that extra boost. So I can put everything I need to, the extra that I need, to do the final years of what I have to do here. How can I say it? And it's not from a place of ego. Please, everything I do, I'm doing for the vision that Jesus gave me, and to help the transition of humanity here. That's my whole intention of doing what I'm doing. I'm basically pretty darn poor. We have our quarter horses here, but you know, I mean, we're struggling to buy hay like everybody else. And you know, I'm not a rich guy. So, you know, I'm not raking in on this at all. So, basically, they're going to prepare us to be, for me, to be a little bit more of an ambassador. And I'm not going to be the only one. There's hundreds of thousands of starseeds that are awakening right now, and they're all filling different roles. I happen to be out in the front. That's the only difference with me. And there's a few others out in the front. Nidal is out in the front. Salyus is out in the front. And we're all starseeds, and we're all giving our different piece of the puzzle, and in the end it will come together. But this, in the end, on the physical plane, there's going to be, has to be the co-joining of humanity with positive, compassionate, loving extraterrestrial, or who's ever going to get on a ship to go anywhere. So there has to be a communion of it all towards the end, and apparently that's where my wife and I are going to come into that. And that's some of the work we've had done with us. It's been explained when I had the energy in my chest there about 3-4 weeks ago, the harmonizing of my whole system. It's like they're doing physical work on us, and I think it has something to do with the fact that we are going to be going somewhere, you know, even just for a country drive or whatever you want to call it, but we are going to be going on board, and it's not going to be that far off. And to be honest, if I would have heard myself saying this right now, as I'm saying it from somebody else, 10 years ago, I'd be shaking my head and saying, boy, this guy's off in the spaceship, all right. Except for the journey, I have to question myself, I'll tell you, but I just can't deny what I've experienced.
Well, yeah. since we're coming so close to the anniversary of 9/11, you want to elaborate a bit on what you said earlier about the whole September 11th and you predicting what was going to happen?
Well, you know, it's a conscious, you know, when something is a very conscious thought and it's really going through the airwaves, it's not hard for conscious people to pick it up. And that's why, not just me, but a lot of people picked up 9-1-1. I could tell you this, and I have no doubts of it at all, and I don't even follow all the conspiracy stuff, but I'll tell you right now, it was masterminded by the states. It was done. I've done some stuff with planes and stuff, and you know, you get to understand jet fuel, and you know, and these planes went into the towers. Well, if they go in there, I mean, they go in, they hit, and they break apart. Well, you're going to get sparks and all that. But in the time that it would take to actually rupture the wings, a rupture. See what they're doing to me? Stop it, you guys. By the time you rupture the tanks and all that jet fuel goes everywhere and ignites, it's a real delay moment in there. And when it does, that jet fuel's everywhere, so it's going to blow out every window in the place. Whereas when you look at 9/11, the explosion goes out the way the plane came in. That's a detonation. It would never blow out in one direction like that. And there was, and the, whatever the Eastman explosives created such heat that it actually dissolved the building. It took the structure out of the building. That's why, I mean, technically, even with the plane crash, the building still should have withstood the damage and standing there. Both of the buildings went down. You know, so now people say, well, okay, well, why would they do that? Well, let's go back to the Illuminati, hooked into the hybrid, hooked into the Greys and the reptilians. So, you know, something like that, for example, would be staged, put together by the reptilians, through the hybrids, that would benefit the Greys. That's kind of like your linkage. That's your hierarchy in that, and something like that happening. And why would they do that? Well, because they wanted to get over there and try and get some control in the Middle East. That's where the wealth is. So it's all about money for the Illuminati.
I totally agree 100% on that. Yeah. What was my other question for you? Yeah, there's just so many. It just, you know what I mean? It's like a web. It's an entangled web. And as soon as you start talking about one thing, that leads off to 10 other things, which leads off to 10 other things. And it's so hard once you get on a flow going one direction to kind of reverse and start talking about something else again that you'd like to check up on, you know what I mean? And, like, I'm sure we could sit here for days and talk to Mr. Faulkner about this because, like I said, it's just a huge entangled spider web. And, folks, the rabbit hole goes so goddamn deep. Yeah, if you're going for this ride, you best buckle your seatbelt. That's all I can say.
That's not all you can say. You can say that you're listening to the Blings and Hellraiser UFO Hour with our guest, Mr. Jeff Fenton. Or Jeff Faulkner. Faulkner, sorry. Other things popped across the screen at the same time.
So, Mr. Faulkner, do you have a website or anything that our listeners can go to check anything out or anything like that?
Well, you know I don't, because I'm poor, and that's about how I'm getting by. I can't afford a website, and I love getting out on the radio right now, because right now I should be lecturing. I've been asked to lecture in 12 different countries around the world, but I don't have the money to get there. So if there's a big backer out there that really believes in what I'm saying, I need some backing to help me get my live lectures out there. But at the same time, I'm really happy to be doing these shows. As I said, the one I did with Corker Johnson, it just took off like the first show was 4,000 people and listening live, and then, you know, we beat the 500 level they had before that. We beat it with 3,000, and now this time here, the last time we went up again, went up. We keep going up. The more people are resonating to what I'm saying, and as I say, the last one I had with them, Brian Easterwood on his show is that we actually on that one had huge downloads. I can't say how many I did earlier, but we had huge downloads. I mean, in the tens of thousands. So it's really getting out there. So I'm really appreciative, even though I'm itching to get out there with people. I could never reach this many people in a year of doing in-person things, but I'm also not a fool. I also know that the faster I get out there, the safer I'm going to be, you know, hopefully. You know, well, not always. I mean, yeah. The Martin Luther King was very visible and didn't help him, the poor man. But, you know, so it's just I want that human touch, too. I want to get out there and speak to people in person. Because they're not just hearing my voice, but they actually see a person. And as I say, I remind everybody, I've had the enforcement jobs at the government and things like that before. But for the longest time since then, you know, I'm basically a quarter horse rancher. That's what we do. We raise quarter horses in Northern California. So, you know, this is totally not really what you would expect a rancher to be doing with his life right now.
Well, we're all appreciate that you come out and talk about the things you know, because if we had more people like you, there wouldn't be so much mystery surrounding life. For people to think that the world is exactly how it's laid out in front of us, they got it. Like, that's why we call them sleepers, right? Because the truth is very scary.
Well, it's not scary. It's just new. It's just like, you know, we go through it in history. History repeats itself. Well, there was a time when everybody was fearful of people sailing off in the ships because they believed the world was flat. Well, the universe isn't flat either, folks. And as soon as people like us take them out there, then the fear will be gone. They'll actually then say, wow, let's embrace this newness, all this wonderful information. I just want to say before we're done here, too, is that if anybody does want to get a hold of me or connect with me, I'm on Facebook. And it's Jeffrey Falter, GeoffreyFaulkner. And you can find me on there. And if somebody wants to talk to me privately, I'm on email as well at healer, HEALER, _ CA 48 at hotmail.com.
Right on. No. So do you see anything, have you been told or seen anything in the near future for us?
Well, it's funny, you know, because...
Any heads up for the rest of the year here that we're looking at before we come into the next one?
Okay, well...
You were saying earlier in one of the other interviews that 2011 you saw was far more important than 2012 and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it is. It is definitely. But, for example, to pull back to my interview last night, I was told to actually pick the 8th. I wanted to do my interview on a different date, and they informed me to do it on the 8th of the month. So I did it last night, and we landed right in the smack dab of that big power outage in the southern USA. And that now has been put down to a severed, not a broken, but a severed a cut line. So they're not giving any more information out on it other than it was cut. So obviously it was some sort of terrorist application, I'm sure. But I was told to use that date, obviously because of what went on yesterday, but also I used last night to give a date out that I was given, and they don't give me many dates, I'll tell you now. And they gave me September 23rd. I know another channeler who contacted me a short while back and didn't know, because I didn't tell anybody prior to my interview last night the date. And she said that her channel has been given her September 23rd as well, but she doesn't know why. Well, the only thing that mine gave me was to watch for things that day. And what the one thing they told me was watch the sky. So I don't know if we're going to have a big flap go through, a big, huge UFO night or something, but they've told me to tell everybody to watch the sky on September 23rd. Didn't say day or night, so I'm going to be looking at, you know, in the day while I'm out, I'll be looking up. And we need to look up. People don't look up. We never look up. And so that's why, we're wrapped in a maze. So we don't think outside of our box or our funnel. So, and if I don't see what I need to see in the day, I'm going to be out there on my deck lounger with a couple of drinks, and I'm going to lay back and stare at the sky for as long as I can stay awake, because something is coming on the 23rd. They also, another channeler I know who doesn't say much at all, but every now and then she comes in, says something in conversation, and it's usually quite profound. And also what I was getting, it came in rhythm with something else I was given too, that September is going to be a really bad month, and it's actually going to be the beginning of ascension. Now, when I say ascension, I don't mean people floating off to New Earth. I'm talking about basically the dying process that we're all going to start to experience. It's going to be a bad geographic month. And today was because my kids are there, but a big heralder with that triple six magnitude in 10 seconds off Vancouver Island was a real awakener. So we're going to have a lot of that. There's a lot of activity right now with volcanoes. A lot of stuff is happening. So this month, basically, we're getting the indication as well to watch out for world disasters that are coming in, especially geographically, you know, in the way of Earth changes and movements and stuff like this. So it's going to be bad for that. From here on, we're going in really bad times. These are the good times right now. This is good. It's going to get bad before it gets worse, like most things that are bad to start with. So, you know, this is why I'm telling people, I'm trying to cover everything I can. And there's a ton, you know, as I said, I had a thing with Late Night in the Midlands here about a month ago. I'm with them again in a couple of weeks or a week. And I did a three-hour show, and the owner of the show came on and asked me if I'd do a fourth hour, and I did a fourth hour. And as soon as the show was over, they invited me back for another three-hour. So, I mean, that's 7 hours they're investing in stuff. And even with the 4 hours I did, I still didn't cover everything that I've been given or that I know.
Well, most definitely, we're probably going to wrap up this soon for you and to not take too much more of your time, but we would love when you have more free time to come back and talk to us here on Freethink Radio, because that's absolutely true. We could talk to you probably for days and just keep learning, and you know, I'm the host of the show, but that's exactly why I'm here too. You know, I don't know everything. I'm here to learn just as much as the next person, and you have a wealth of knowledge. It's just amazing. I'm honored to talk to you.
Well, I'm honored to be here, you know, because, you know, people like you are the star seeds, you know, and this is the fact. And people have said to me, come to me and say, you know, hey, am I a star seed? And I said, well, if you have to ask me, probably no, you're not. But, you know, there's a lot of people that don't even know what's going on. I mean, some people hear about it and fluff it off, but a lot of people haven't got a clue. You know, I mean, and these are I hate to say it, but a lot of these people are the unprepared, and they're going to be going back. Because if you haven't got the ascension process in your DNA already, then you're going to be going home early because you're not going to be prepared. I mean, I was shown as well some disaster areas when Jesus came to me, and it was horrendous. It ripped the gut out of me because I saw people wandering around like zombies. I mean, in shock and lost because they just didn't know what was happening. It was so horrendous.
This is one of my fears, is that the people that are awake and the ones that aren't awake, is the way I'd like to say it, I think they're going to turn the people who are not awake against the ones that are awake and use them as, like you just said, like a zombie army against the people who are awake. And it's happening every day. That's why certain people that believe certain things are getting called freaks or whatever the name would be. Because they believe in certain things or have seen certain things that other people haven't seen. And it's a constant attack from one side to the other, I've noticed. And that's my fear. I think they're going to turn the ones that are asleep against us. It's going to be one hell of a fight in the end. You know what I mean? Because you're going to have to go through the ones that are asleep and then, oh man, it's going to be a mess.
Well, the last few years, I can tell you, it's an old movie, but a lot of people know it, The Blade Runner. Have you heard of The Blade Runner?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, well, that's definitely the last 2 or 3 years. That's why I said to you, of the third that's left, some of those are going to be the Ascended waiting to go, and some of those are going to be the Blade Runner types, which are basically the ones that always control and use and abuse in no matter what place society's at. So, you know, a lot of that's coming along. The Ascended people are really quite protected in a lot of ways. Nobody's totally safe. I mean, you know, the physical being is the physical being, but there is a plan in place. Myself, I just know that I'm not going to Earth 2. I mean, I'm 63 years old, I'm not ancient, but I just feel that along the way, something's going to happen to me that I'm not going to be going. So, which probably means somebody will eventually take me out. You know, I mean, I've even had visions on that I won't go into, but, you know, the point is, like, people say, well, if you see that, I mean, why are you doing this? Just sit back and watch. And it's like, no, that's what I'm here for. I've died twice. I'm not afraid to die. I'm not afraid to die at all. In some ways, to me, it's like I look at the other way, that actually dying is like a celebration. And birthing is, that's why birthing is painful. That's why the mothers suffer when they give birth to a child, is because it's a painful process. I mean, it's a wonderful gift of life, but it's a painful process. And you know, certainly death can be painful too, but it's like when we come into this world, we're coming in to face everything that we don't like, everything that we aren't in our true form on the other side. So it's a very gruesome sort of thing to come into, and a lot of young kids come into horrendous family situations where they're not given a good start, and so the whole basis of who they are for the rest of their life is formed when they're young. So, you know, birth is not always to me the celebratory time. It's more like when you are leaving this earth, it's basically your graduation. You've completed. So, you know, if that's what's there for me, then I'm fine with that, as long as I get to do what I'm supposed to do before that happens.
Yeah, excellent. All right, well, I guess we're going to wrap this up now, and I want to say thank you so much, Mr. Faulkner, for coming on and talking to us, and I would really enjoy it if you could come back sometime when you're not as busy and talk some more with us. Like I said, it's been an honor that you've joined us here and shared your information with us, and I hope that you've intrigued some people out there to research some of this stuff themselves and find out for themselves, because the rule of thumb with us is don't take any of our word for it. Research your own stuff, because you know, you should never follow anybody, or you know what I mean, or a group. So
the truth is out there.
Use the word. Yeah, the truth is out there. And the last thing I'd like to say is, you know, people stay in contact with my Facebook page. As I explained it there, is that when I am coming lecturing and I'm coming to Toronto, that's how they'll find out, you know, until I do actually have a website. So I'm really, really wanting to get to Toronto before too much longer. I know I'm hopefully going to Germany in January to speak to the university, the American University, the Heidelberg University there. So I'm trying to get things going for early in the new year.
Right on. So your Facebook is Jeffrey Faulkner, and people can add you and talk to you there, right?
You betcha. And it's G-E-O-F-F-R-E-Y. That's a different way of spelling Jeffrey.
Right on. Thank you so much for coming on and joining us. It's been amazing, and you'll have me thinking for the next 4 days, I'm sure. Like, my wheels will be turning. But, yeah, thanks a lot.
Okay, yeah. Well, it's good talking to you guys, and you guys are my first Canadian interview.
Right on.
Feel honored and privileged.
Same here. Okay, you guys take care. Good night, everybody.
Have yourself a good weekend, sir.
You too. Bye-bye now.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the UFO Hour here on freethinkradio.com. That was Jeffrey Faulkner that you just heard on for a special guest. Up next is your show. So that's the time of the night where you, the listener, gets to call in and talk about whatever you want, or talk to the hosts about what's going on. So yeah, you got any parting words, Hellraiser?
Not offhand. I mean, it was a really nice to have him on here, and actually have a chance to grab some of the questions off of him. Yeah, there's lots of interviews out there with him, too. You might, guys might want to check out some of his other stuff. He gets into a lot of other information in fairly good detail.
There's a lot of stuff that we didn't even get to cover that he talks about in so many other interviews. So if you want, just Google his, or Google, YouTube his name. And
yeah, I'm going to drop it in the front chat here.
All right, and you'll find a bunch of videos, and give that a listen. If you're into what you heard tonight and you like that stuff, like, listen, he's got some information, and yeah, it's really good. And also, add him to your Facebook if you want to talk to him, private message, you can. So that's it for the UFO Hour tonight, man. We've done an hour and 50 minutes. Up next is your show. You've been listening to the UFO Hour here on freethinkradio.com. Thanks for tuning in, and we're out, guys.